Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. I'm looking at my brother Jesse. Both of us just got knocked down, but you know what? Both of us just got up.
That's right. Terry, and by the way, Pope Leo XIII would love our bumper music because he's the one that said Christians were made for combat.
That's right.
And this is combat music from the Crusades.
And when you're in combat, you get knocked down a few times. But the question
Absolutely.
I have is, did you get up? Jess, today's the Feast That's of the Our Lady of Sorrows. What a great feast day for today here, especially in California. We have some sorrows here, but you know what? We also look stepping forward and moving forward here. But great feast day. We've got some great topics today. Jesse, this article about the Biden administration regarding ivermectin and the basically censorship of it. This is amazing that they're doing that.
That's how I got healed.
That's how you got healed. Yeah. See?
100%. Yeah. Back in the gym, back
swimming.
Swimming, riding my bike. I'm 100%.
Good job. And then we also have the CDC redefines the vaccine in the wake of the mRNA jabs plunging efficacy. In other words, it's not being very effective, the jab. So they go, wait a minute, we're going to have to redefine this. This is crazy. And then, you know, Jesse, if we get to it, we got a lockdown that's resulting in more lives lost than saved. And we show the statistics that where countries and states did the lockdown, it did the ineffectiveness.
Well, just share that right now, Terry. That's super. That's what we're at right now.
Let's do it right after the gospel. I want to catch that because
gospel
first and then. But yeah, that is important. I'll mention that. And also our good friend Michael Vorse, it's Wednesday. So he's going to come and talk about the three topics that are hitting the news right now at Church Militant. So we will get.
Or maybe you can share the topic then if it we could fit it into one of Michael's.
Yeah, maybe we could. Well, we'll see at what we work. But before we do any of that, talking about Our Lady of Sorrows, let's get to some gospel message. Let's get to the soul food that we do every single day. And I want to remind everybody, Jesse, I'll have to be honest with you. You know, what we've been saying is radical. Okay, I mean it. It is but the gospel is radical. Okay. And so we're bringing information to people. Some people just don't want to hear this, and I understand that, and they have a freedom to turn the dial. I get that. But, you know, we're not here to tickle your ears, as the gospel says, or as St. Paul says. We're not here to tickle your ears. We're here to give you the good news of Christ and also to give you good information to make good judgment calls. So let's get to the gospel for some soul food, Jesse.
In the midst of giving people the good news, we also have to warn them about the dangers that we see in the culture. So
Absolutely, that's also what we do.
Yep. Today's gospel is very short. John chapter 19, verse 25 to 27. It says, standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple there whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Here's a simple apologetic I share with people, Protestants.
Yeah.
When they say, I say, I'm a disciple of Mary. Yeah. They say, I tell them, first of all, are you a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? They'll say, of course I am, Jesse. Yeah. I'll say, well, and this is how you ask the next question. Well, do you know that disciples of Jesus take Mary into their house? They'll say, no, they don't. Where's that in the Bible? John 19:27, right there.
That's right.
And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. I've shared that with about 100 Protestants. They say, that's pretty sharp, Jess. You know what? You just gave me an intellectual charity horse.
And you know what, Jesse? In addition to that, if Mary had other children, then why was she given to John? In other words, that makes no sense. And I share that with the Protestants also. That particular gospel says a lot about the role of Mary.
Yeah, because in every culture, Terry, you have what's called the next of kin.
Of course.
Power of attorney, and so if somebody, you know, again in the family, the parents pass away, they don't have somebody to look over for the parent that's alive, it goes to the oldest child, and then in succession the children that are remaining in every single culture. Let me just mention one thing about Our Lady of Sorrows in particular. in relation to spiritual warfare.
Yes.
Okay. This Father Chad Ripperger, he actually took the name Our Lady of Sorrows for his priestly exorcist order. It's called the Doloran Fathers, which calls them Dolores or Sorrows. It's called the Doloran Fathers. And here's what he actually says about Mary at John 19:25. He says, Our Lady of Sorrows is the one to go to for secret knowledge. Your soul shall be pure so that the thoughts of many will be laid bare. Father Ripperger recommends to do a 9-day rosary to Our Lady of Sorrows and ask her every day, which is the generational spirit attacking my family? And Mary will reveal to you, based on the prophecy of St. Simeon, she'll reveal to you those things that are hidden that are attacking or afflicting your family. Father Ripperger also says, if there's something that you need to know that's hidden in your life, an imperfection, a defect, you go to Our Lady of Sorrows specifically under that title, and she'll reveal it to you. It works like clockwork. You know, you have a son or a daughter, and you're concerned about them, and you think that there's something wrong there. You can ask Our Lady of Sorrows, what am I dealing with my son or daughter? Or even in your own life, it's very helpful to pray to Our Lady of Sorrows to review our own defects, our own imperfections, because a lot of times, the predominant effect is not the one that's the most seen. Our Lady of Sorrows is the one to go to ask for the conversion of those family members, like blocking demons as well, and giving grace whenever you're trying to get somebody to convert, or when you're trying to get somebody to start living a better life. So there's two sides to that devotion, a positive and a negative. The negative side is you got to get the demons out of our lives, so that they don't block the operations of grace. And then you also have to pray for the grace for a person for their conversion or for them to start living a moral life. But Our Lady, under the title of Sorrows, is the one to go to for those kinds of graces, close quote.
Awesome, Jesse. I want to add one of the sorrows of Mary that's a connection. Think about Jesus on the cross when he died. What did the soldiers do? They pierced him with a sword. And that was when Our Lady's heart was pierced. See, because Jesus had died. Who felt that pierce? Our Lady. Anyhow, that was an insight that I got over the today's Mass that I thought, wow, man, what about here with us? Are we going to imitate Mary? We're imitating Christ. My heart got pierced a little bit.
Yeah,
today.
That's the whole divine mercy picture that you just described.
Yep, yep.
And Mary's heart was pierced
spiritually
according to the prophecy of St. Simeon.
Yep. Let's bring the smartest guy into the room, Archbishop Fulton Sheen. Jesse has made this point about Fulton Sheen many times. He talks about guilt. He says, a man cannot escape what he is flying from. Think about our modern culture. Guilt pursues him almost like a shadow. He reaches a point where he is no longer a bad man, but an evil man. Now, here's the distinction. A bad man will do wrong things, such things as cheat, steal, slander, murder, violate, but he will still admit the law. An evil man, on the contrary, may not do any of these bad things. He is concerned not with the concrete, but with the abstract. His desire is to completely destroy goodness, religion, morality, in a mad bigotry. Jesse, I see right now in our culture an evil culture. Because what is it doing?
I see an evil president, and I see an evil governor in many states as well.
Yeah.
I have no problem calling him evil, because the definition, according to Sheen, is a person that maximizes damage. Yeah. That describes a lot of the politicians today.
Jesse, let me see if I can push this in real quick. This is an amazing story. The results are in. More lives lost and saved through the study through the lockdown. So these lockdowns that we went in, a year and a half, we have the study. The shelter down. Now, a study done by researchers, both nonpartisan, RAND Corporation and the University of Southern California, right in my backyard, compared the number of non-coronavirus deaths registered before the COVID-19 lockdowns to that of the non-corona deaths registered during the lockdowns. And we found the following. Here it is, folks, that, you know, these shelter in place, remember, these policies, excess would increase more deaths for people, not from COVID-19, but we had more suicides, more violent deaths. The researchers analyzed these statistics from 43 countries, man. Can you hear that, man? I mean, Mr. President? The most American states, 43 of them, most of the countries and states jumped into the lockdown immediately. Others waited for them some time before the lockdowns were mandated, right? In both of these cases, pro-lockdown approaches, however, had the pattern was the same. There was an increase in non-COVID or excess deaths. Jesse, it didn't work, okay? It actually is causing more deaths than the COVID-19. So the isolation resulting from the lockdowns, the study suggests that we may have led to several important unintended consequences such as unemployment, increased stress, anxiety, it goes on, suicides, all of this. The article is at LifeSite News, and this Dr. Jay Baratha from Stanford University Medical Center, he's an epidemiologist, he points it all out, that there's more deaths caused from non-COVID-19 than COVID-19. So what are we doing locking our economy? What are we doing? That's what's taking us into an area that is horrible. We come back, we'll have more. I wanted to make sure you're aware of that fact, that we have more deaths outside of COVID-19. So which is worse? I know what's better. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Terry, you know what a bully does
In
a playground when he wants to take your money? Well, he just physically, again, an eighth grader can impose his physical size on a fourth grader and just take their lunch money every single day. But when you have bullies that run the culture, that run society, they don't have to hit you or slap you. You know, it wouldn't. The optics wouldn't be good. But what they could do is they can continue beating you down by verbally assaulting your character. And we call that now, Terry, information flooding.
Yeah.
Because the left essentially controls the mainstream media, like 95% of the mainstream media, and they control big tech, that's social media. So you have mainstream media, that's news, that's television news, conventional. Then you have big tech, which is social media. 90% of this is controlled by the left. So, I mean, there's a few little outlets out there, you know, like, you know, podcasters like us, Terry, that kind of just we're trying to be faithful and patriotic and balanced. But the left now is involved in what's called information flooding. And they do this through the propaganda media. In 2014, there was a Harvard educational manuscript that showed how information flooding, which is a method of censorship for the lazy, low-information CNN crowd. Apparently, this is what's allowed the Biden steal, the COVID hysteria, unconstitutional lockdowns, and now the Joe Biden China-like media propaganda regarding ivermectin. Again, they just continue flooding the mainstream media and big tech with what's called informational flooding over and over again. And the purpose appears to be for a Chinese communist-like total control of our lives, as seems to be happening full-scale, like in Australia, for example.
Yeah, that's a good example.
And inch by inch in the U.S. because of, again, a lot of lazy Americans that just want to listen to CNN and MSNBC and even some of the Fox crowd. They won't go after the true information because that's slightly more difficult to access. So many scholars have speculated that censorship efforts will be ineffective in the information age, where the possibility of accessing incriminating information about almost any political entity will benefit the masses at the expense of the powerful. But others have speculated that while information can now move instantly across borders, well, that also helps the left, because autocrats can still use fear and intimidation to encourage citizens to keep quiet. And this manuscript that I have here before me demonstrates that the deluge of information and facts still benefits those in power by observing that the degree of accessibility of information is still determined by organized groups and governments. Even the most information is possible to access as normal citizens get lost in the cacophony of information available to them. Their consumption of information is highly influenced by the cost of obtaining it, and much information is either desegregated online or somewhat inaccessible, and organized groups with resources and incentives to control this information, again, use information flooding and information friction as methods of controlling the cost of information for consumers. Terry, for example, if you go on Google and you type in something like, you know, where do I get ivermectin? You'll come back and it'll say something on the bottom like, oh, you know, this is dangerous for you. You shouldn't be using this. So you have, you already have all these algorithms by these millennials that already, when you're asking some type of patriotic, conservative, faithful question like on Google, it'll come back with a biased response, or sometimes it's just blocked. You can't get that information. So people like ourselves, because Terry, you and me put out information, we know where to go to. But the average Catholic, Terry, or the average low information American, they're just getting flooded with liberal information. They don't know how to go and access the good stuff.
And what I will include, because I get all kinds of people calling me that are overwhelmed by all this information, just saying that I can't eat, they're scared. I want to encourage people with this is the doctor's order. Go visit Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament.
Amen.
Shut the media off for a little bit. Sit there before our Lord and say prayers of self-abandonment to Jesus. And say, Jesus, I give myself to you, and your will be done. Just be in his presence and build yourself up in the Lord. Because I can tell you right now, information as good as we're giving is not nearly as good as the information you have before our Lord. Get your Bible out before there in the Eucharistic presence of our Lord, because this information depresses people. I was just coming from Mass today, and I got a phone call, several again. People are just so stressed, and they don't know where to turn. Well, again, we can fight these things by getting lawyers, which is important, but I got to tell you, your peace that they can't take from you is your love and your relationship with Jesus Christ. So don't fear the world. You know what I fear? I fear that Terry Barber is going to be a sinner and not die in the state of grace. So what do? I fear that by staying close to Jesus and the sacraments. Have your peace not in the government, but with Jesus Christ. So again, information is important, but I would tell everyone I've talked to, go build your faith. Ask Jesus Christ for more stronger faith, because I see a lot of Catholics who are going to church and trying to do their best, and they are rattled, Jesse, to a point where they've lost their trust. And I think that we have to remember, Jesus, I trust in thee. I don't trust in the government. You know what I do? I'm leery of the government. As a matter of fact, what did Ronald Reagan say yesterday to us, Jesse? Those words? That was funny.
Yeah, he says the nine most...
Coming from the government, right?
Or yeah, the nine most feared words from the government is...
I'm here to...
Hello, I am the government. I'm here to help you. I'll find the exact...
Yeah, well, what he says is it's not... Hilarious. The government is not the solution, okay?
Exactly.
That's the point. I mean, everybody's really upset right now. Let's make sure that we build our faith up every day, because you're going to go down without having a strong faith, because the evils in the world right now are overwhelming. But I have something that's more overwhelming, and it is Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and I'll be specific. It's the promises of Jesus.
That's right.
Jesus is a person.
Heart, everything, yeah.
Jesus is a person who rose from the dead. He's alive. He's coming back. He's the Son of God. He has all power. Not 90% power.
Every square inch.
Power.
Yep.
He has all power.
That's right.
And so what we have to do on our end is we have to believe in him and trust in him and put our hopes in him.
That's
right. And we can get through anything.
Exactly.
Here's Ronald Reagan's quote. He says, the nine most terrifying words ever spoken are, quote, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
Yeah, and he also says that the government is the problem. Remember that quote he had?
Yeah, that. Yeah.
That's it, because the bigger the government, the smaller the person. I think Dennis Prager said that. The point of it is we put too much trust in the government. That's my point, Jess.
Yeah, Terry. And also what's important is even you'll even find, for example, a lot of people that are diabolically afflicted.
Yeah.
What an exorcist will tell them to start treating them to heal them from diabolical affliction.
Yeah.
An exorcist will say, you have to go on a media fast.
That's right.
For the next 60 to 90 days.
Wow.
A good exorcist will say, no cell phone, no TV, no radio, no internet.
Wow.
No Facebook. And so this shows the power of silence.
Yes.
Power. And the power.
The power.
Yes. And this shows the power of basically blocking your brain from what we called, again, information flooding.
Yes.
Okay? This information flooding. So good exorcists around the country, they tell me that this is the way, it's the fast track to healing.
Yeah.
Because once all the information flooding is blocked from the brain and you put the possessed person on a sacramental path and on a strong prayer life, boom. 60 to 90 days, Terry, the person is perfectly healed. And I think that's the same thing that would apply. I mean, we're not possessive, but the fact is we're also being attacked by the diabolical through propaganda and through false information flooding.
That's right.
And so as a Catholic, I would say, I'll tell you my game plan.
Tell us.
I'm very cautious of what I allow to go to my brain. I guard my brain because, mm-hmm. I mean, that's... The mind is where we do battle against the diabolical. So yep. I guard what goes in there. Number one, I would tell you is that the Bible calls us to be praying at least three times a day. If you're not praying three times a day, you're blowing it. You really are blowing it. And when you pray, you should at least be praying for at least 15 minutes every time you pray, morning, midday, and evening, about 15 minutes. Why? The saints tell us, again, that 15 minutes a day of prayer is what we need for meditation, to really saturate our mind with the Word of God. Doctors tell us the same thing, brain surgeons. They tell us that meditation, prayerful meditation, floods the mind with endorphins, serotonin, and dopamine. So this fights all that negative information, blood flooding, and propaganda. Also, I would recommend you have to read the daily mass readings. There's no excuse. I'm sorry. It's too late in the game for me to say, amen. Oh, well, it's okay if you don't read the Bible. No, you need to read the daily mass readings every single day and meditate upon God's word. To include in everything I said, pray grace before meals, pray grace after meals, Thanksgiving prayer.
Yep.
And to include what I just said in your midday prayers is remember the Chaplet of the Divine Mercy at 3 o'clock, and to include also the Holy Rosary. What are we doing? When you pray, you're repeating the Word of God. And what does the Word of God do? It cleanses. It takes custody of your intellect. It purifies your thoughts. It strengthens your intellect. It strengthens your will. And also, it's prayer has an offensive nature. It's like an arrow cast out into the cosmos. And who does it injure and damage and wound? The diabolical terror.
And think about what you just said. 15 minutes. What is a 15-minute prayer exercise? The rosary!
Yes.
So Our Lady of Fatima told us all we need to be praying our daily rosary. And she also said this. This is on the spiritual level. That souls are going to hell because no one is there to pray and make sacrifices. So what does that tell us? We need to be praying more, making more sacrifices for the salvation of souls, and less of the media. That's my take on that, Jess.
Absolutely, Terry. Epoch Times, which is a good resource,
oh, yeah.
by the way.
They're,
yeah, they're a good resource. Mm-hmm. They write here that, again, there's been this information flooding against ivermectin. There's a propaganda war against ivermectin mm-hmm. because it works.
Yep, you're in exactly so
the,
of it.
Yeah, the establishment, FDA, the CDC, the NIH, they want to give people the jab that doesn't work. It actually causes more sickness and it causes more people to die. And so the ivermectin, there's an informational flooding propaganda war against this very inexpensive drug that works. I'm proof positive.
You got it, Jess. You and Anita both. Hey, when we come back, the CDC redefines vaccine in the wake of the mRNA jabs. Bludging efficiency.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Two Catholics with a PhD in common sense. That's all it takes, really, to navigate, in this life. Faith and common sense, that's all you need. All these people are always very impressed with all these letters after their name. The most important letters that we need to be shooting for is to have the ST.
Amen, brother.
For your name when you die. All those letters after your last name don't amount to a hill of beans on your personal judgment. So, Terry, the mRNA experimental vaccines are poisonous potions, according to Peter Koenig, who writes this article for Global Research. He calls them medical malpractice or slow-motion genocide. Let me tell you who Peter Koenig is. I'm looking at his bio here. He's no lightweight. He's a geopolitical analyst and a former economist at the World Bank and at the World Health Organization, the WHO, where he has worked for over 30 years on water and environment around the world. He lectures at universities in the U.S., Europe, and South America. He writes regularly for online journals, and he's the author of several books. So the man is well documented. Look at what he says here. I want to get to the thick of it, and then I want to get to his hardest point, and I'll go to some of the other one. Towards the end of the article, you can tell he's a man of faith, because although he's a political wonk and a scientific wonk, he's also a man of faith, because towards the end of the article, he has a section called The Satanic Cult of the Ultra Rich.
Wow.
And look at what he says. Less than 2 years ago, who would have thought that a satanic cult of ultra rich corporate and banking oligarchs may take over full control of all 193 United Nations member countries representing close to 8 billion people, with death threats and corruption, executing a plan, the Great Reset, that threatens the world's population within the next 10 years, coinciding with the infamous UN Agenda 2030. Hardly anybody would have thought that humanity was capable of producing such criminal sick monsters. Then he writes, we the people are many and they are few, and they know it. That's why they expediently and with haste. If we act, we have to act fast and in solidarity to stem against this monstrous project of the lockdowns, the Great Reset, by simply not falling into the trap of complacency, of promises and lies, but actively resist now without hesitation. Then we have a chance, and not only a chance, to overcome and restore humanity with human values and with a reset that serves humanity and not the criminal globalist agenda. I love that section, Terry, of
it is.
Very powerful.
It is, Jesse.
That was the faith side of him.
That is. And he just said between 2015 and August of 2021, the CDC has defined a vaccine as a product that stimulates a person's immune system to produce immunity to a specific disease, protecting the person from the disease. Now, Jesse, they changed that for obvious reasons because it wasn't working. He said the following increased skepticism over the term vaccine being applied to the newly developed mRNA jabs against COVID-19 from experts in medicine. The CDC, I used the word, adjusted the definition at the beginning of September, just this month, now describing a vaccine as, check this out, preparation that is used to stimulate the body's immune response against diseases. Similar word vaccinating is now, according to the CDC definition, less specific about the level of resistance a subject should receive from the medication. Now, this is, Jesse, something that most of us aren't aware of, but like you said, between 2015 and August of 2021, the definition of the vaccine provided by the CDC was it was the act of introducing a vaccine into the body to produce immunity to a specific disease. Now the word immunity has been dropped in favor of a less precise term, protection. Isn't that interesting, Jesse? You know, why are they doing that, Jesse? I can tell you why. Because they realize it ain't working. They have to change the tune.
That's right. And I'll, here's some of the other things that jump out at me at his article.
Tell me.
That to me, he says, the approval of the Pfizer mRNA, he calls it poison, Terry.
Yeah, that's pretty strong language.
He says poison. The approval of the Pfizer mRNA poison is a perfect precedent for approving all other mRNA poison potions. Thereby making the attempt at reduction of human life, depopulation on Earth official. The eugenicists have officially won the race.
Yeah.
In other words, Terry, they've been planning on this again, the eugenicist movement. Well, really, the eugenicist movement started with Margaret Sanger and Bill Gates' father, who started Planned Parenthood. So that was back in the early 20s. And that was started by a doctor called Dr. Malthusian, who even before that was already talking about how can we get a perfect, you know, human breed of people and filter out the human race from its from the degenerates. So, yeah, the last 100 years, Terry, we've lost our mind in the West, where we've lost the fact that everybody's made in the image and likeness of God. So everybody has intrinsic value.
That's right.
Just because of that. But now, as a result of Malthusian science and eugenicists, now we've got, Terry, this whole push on euthanasia where we're trying to make the perfect human race because, just, you know, some people are just misfits and degenerates.
Right.
In the article, Peter Koenig says also, this jumps out at me here. He says this, although this was predictable, there was hope that counter voices in real science, as expressed by hundreds and thousands of scientists, might prevail. But the problem is, again, here's what I'm saying, they get blocked from social media as soon as they start going against the prevailing party line. He writes, so far, and again, you can see that the person's a man of faith because a lot of the little words he uses, he goes, so far, this diabolical agenda is overwhelming.
Right.
It is overrunning the entire United Nations system, all 193 UN member countries, and foremost, the World Health Organization, which people hope and trust will defend their interests. Yeah, Terry, we know that the UN and the World Health Organization is not trying to fight for our best interests. And that's why, Terry, I scratch my head. I don't know why Pope Francis, in a speech he gave recently, says that we should be trusting the UN.
Yeah.
That, Terry, that goes against what the Catechism says, collectivism, globalism.
Of course.
And it goes against the principle of subsidiarity. That's a dangerous, it's a dangerous thing to just let the UN run everything or the World Health Organization. But look at these two paragraphs. This is the cash value. Mm-hmm. He says, the World Health Organization, who was never created to defend the health interests of the people, it was from the beginning, from the inception in 1948, an instrument to control people from a eugenicist perspective.
Yep.
As the creation of the World Health Organization was a Rockefeller idea. Mm-hmm. The Rockefellers and Bill Gates are among the world's foremost protagonists of depopulation. In the same vein, Terry, it's funny. You always hear the same names when it comes to, again, culture of death issues, Rockefellers, Rothschilds, Gates, Soros, the same names, Terry. And he says, in the same vein, rather than an organization that seeks preventative care, the World Health Organization was set up from the very beginning as a curative body, meaning it is promoting pharmaceuticals, big pharma,
yep,
to heal the sick, rather than preventing people from becoming sick. That's classical Hippocrates medicine.
It is.
The curative means pharmaceuticals are based on petrochemicals, gradually killing traditional medicine. Well said, my friend.
Good article.
Who wrote this article. Yep. Yeah.
Hey, Jess, just to remind you, we're going to have Michael Voris from Church Militant on after this break. He'll give us the three topics of the news for them for today. But I want to also remind everybody We have the conference Saturday with True Devotion to St. Joseph with Father Charles Murr, Father Stephen Lewinsky, and my wife, Mary Danielle Barber. And the topics are going to be fantastic. Father Charles Murr is going to be talking about St. Joseph and how is St. Joseph integral in how to find your future spouse. And so this would be good for our moms and dads to share with their kids. Also, my wife will be giving a talk on a biblical view of St. Joseph. I know she's got like 10 different books she's researching on this topic. It'll be very, very good. Father Steve Lewinsky, he's an expert on divine mercy. He's going to talk about St. Joseph, protector of life and the family. And then Father Charles Murr will give another talk on St. Joseph the Worker, a model to combat depression. You got to come. Just call 877-526-2151. You can call now or go online to vmpr.org. Yes, we will be doing this through the internet on our website, vmpr.org. I would encourage you to come. We've got confessions. I got several priests, three priests hearing confessions all day long. So sign up, even if it's just to get here for the sacraments. Several masses are going to take place in the day here at the chapel. It's going to be something that will pull you outside of the world to spend a day meditating on the role of St. Joseph in your spiritual life.
Yeah, we need to do that more and more, Terry.
Yeah.
You know, that's why St. Paul tells us, meditate on what is good, true, holy,
amen,
beautiful, lovely. Meditate upon all these things. Remember, as Catholics, disconnect. Learn to disconnect. Connect with God through prayer and disconnect from the world of soul. Especially, I'll just tell most. Look at after the stolen election. Mm-hmm. I got off of personally, not just me. I got off of Facebook. And I got off of, what was the other one?
Twitter. Social media.
Twitter. And I'm telling you, Terry, I have never had felt better in my life.
Oh, yeah. Hey, up next, Michael Vorse from Church Militant is going to join us to talk about the Church Militant news report for today. We got three topics that are very important for you to hear. You won't want to miss it. Stay with us, family. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Terry and Jesse Show, we're back. We got the Strength and Honor segment with Michael Vorse. My friend Michael Vorse, I consider him like a spiritual cage fighter. He's part of the UFC. He's an ultimate fighting Catholic. Michael, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. What's happening around the Catholic world in 10 minutes?
Thanks, Jesse. Thanks, Terry.
I'm going to hire Justin Way.
He's going to handle our PR for us. Yeah, come on.
What's going on, my friend, around the Catholic world?
Well, let's see. Well, on our Catholic Info Hour tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern. By the way, we've got all kinds of really good reviews from people sitting out watching that. So it's a nice move, I think, on our part. Lots of news and then discussion about it. So copying the network. So our first thing is, of course, the protest by the bishops in Mexico against the push for abortion. Well, more than a push, the ruling legalizing or decriminalizing abortion, across the entire nation. Just what a nightmare. I mean, somebody, written into us from Mexico and said, this is our Mexican Roe v. Wade. And yeah, that's exactly what it is. So it's good to see. Now, here becomes the problem. I mean, the bishops initially here in the United States in the first, few weeks or so after Roe v. Wade and a few other and Doe v. Bolton, there was a little bit of pushback from the bishops, but they just quickly sort of petered out back in 1973 and 74. That was, of course, the beginning of the era here in the United States of the big Bernardine machine and John Dearden and all of that, big social justice push. The bishops in Mexico and the dedicated Catholics in Mexico have to get mobilized immediately and start being relentless and not let them not sort of lose the initiative like is what happened here in the United States. We had one brilliant, brave Catholic lady, Nellie Gray, and she started the March for Life. Somebody in Mexico right now, and if the bishops want to help coordinate it, it's before they get overrun, needs to immediately put together the Mexico March for Life, like we have that here, the U.S. March for Life, and start it and make a big deal and, you know, and just make the pro-aborts life miserable here and never give up. That's how you got to this point in Mexico, just like that's how you got to this point here in the U.S. So, that's a crying shame, but, you know, one Catholic country after another, I'll put Catholic in quotes, just keeps falling to the culture of death. So it's a very big deal. It's very sad to see that when it flashed on our screens here.
Yeah, Michael, what? This to me is it's kind of a logical extension. Here's what happened in the 60s of Mexican cartels. Mm-hmm. They started the cult of Satan worship called La Santa Muerte. Mm-hmm. Now, what La Santa Muerte and other satanic cults, all of them know that a blood sacrifice is the highest form of worship to Satan. And all Satanists, what they agree on is that abortion is the blood sacrifice. So the fact that the Mexican cartels have a stranglehold on Mexico, and the fact that the Santa Muerte cult is pretty prevalent in Mexico, these are the forces that were pushing Mexico to accept abortion, because once again, this is the blood sacrifice that they offer to Satan. And so, just like in this country, you got witches and Satanists aligned with the Democrat Party that are pushing for all these culture of death issues, like the Satanists want to sue Texas, saying it violates their religious rights. Same thing in Mexico. It's the Satanists that are getting involved in politics and pushing Mexico into the culture of death.
Michael, sure. I just want to say thank you for your pushback on all these issues. That's exactly what we need to be doing. The second issue pertains to me here in California. I want to hear about the election results from you. So what are you going to talk about with that?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, you know, it's unfathomable, seriously. I mean, I'm kind of an old political junkie, and to see polls as recently as, you know, 7 to 10 days ago, yeah, saying this is close, the recall, Newsom recall election, to say this is close just within 7 to 10 days ago. And then all of a sudden it broke down to essentially what I think 78 to 22 or right, something like that. I don't know if the final numbers are in, but basically 4-1 in favor of. I mean, you know, that should be a great, big, huge red flag warning for Republicans across the country. There is no way you went from essentially 51 to 49, depending on which poll you're looking at, to 80 to 20 in a week. That doesn't happen. Just like you don't win, you know, Iowa, Florida, and Ohio and lose the presidency. You don't win 18 of 19 bellwether counties and lose the presidency. So this should be a great, big, huge warning for all of these, you know, Republicans, and I know they're populated with rhinos, but these Republican state legislatures need to get their act together in these states where these battleground congressional seat districts are going to be being fought over in 2022. There is no way you have a 30-point swing in a race that controversial in the space of, you know, a week. Just that's not possible. It's just not possible. That means everybody who was talking to the pollsters was lying to the pollsters. Everybody. So, you know, and of course, it's a fake Catholic who comes out on top again. You know, and one of the reasons, right behind me, you can see the Catholic Info Hour set. One of the reasons we spend so much time identifying how many people are in politics leading the culture of death are bad Catholics. We want people to realize that. Where did these people come from? You know, John Kerry, Ted Kennedy, Nancy Pelosi, Dick Durbin, of course, Joe Biden, and then on the governor level, you know, Gavin Newsom. It just goes on and on and on. Why? Because these people are allowed to get away with this, are allowed to portray themselves as Catholic by a corrupt hierarchy that has no care about them doing it, as long as they continue to get their immigration billions from Uncle Sam and, you know, get left alone and get to keep their nonprofit status. And, you know, it's revolting. And this has to be blown up. I mean, that man, okay, so they could just get rid of him if he's Catholic and put in someone who's not. But it is an enormous black eye on the church that these individuals, these apostate Catholics, Anthony Fauci, all of these apostate Catholics are allowed to get away literally with murder in the COVID nursing home stuff, in the abortion chambers, all of it. And the bishops sit there on their hands debating, well, how should we phrase this document? Not good enough hierarchy. Not good enough.
Well said.
In my opinion, in California, they had the Xerox machines running all night, and or they just flipped a little switch. What's it called? Dominion software, and they just flipped the votes. Unless we figure out in all 50 states how to run a fair election, I'm going to tell you right now, conservatives and Republicans will never win again because the Democrats at this point have figured out how to rig every election. And unless something is done, I mean ASAP, we're going to fall into the hands of a socialist communist party.
Yeah. Michael, I also got a note here on CNN, 351,000 yes votes disappeared on a screen instantly. I have the screenshot of that. I hope you're going to cover. I mean, come on. This is obvious. Something's going on. The red flag. Are you kidding me? I mean,
yeah, we had some interviews the last couple nights with Republican voters who'd gone to the polls. We just put their sound bites up on this on the show. Republican voters saying, I went to show up to vote, and they told me I'd already voted.
That's insane.
Like, I didn't vote. What are you talking about?
Exactly. So there's lots of red flags.
Oh, yeah, they're all over.
What about your third topic? Because I want to get that in. We only have a minute and a half. Go ahead, Michael.
Sure. Big deal is, Ontario, the Ontario province of Canada. A province in Canada is like a state here in the United States. And I haven't sneezed on the air in years. Thank you. Sorry. Excuse me.
God bless you.
Thank you. They're instituting this. I mean, you talk about socialist communist approach. Yeah. Yeah. You're not going to be able to come out of your house unless you're vaxxed. They're going to establish police checkpoints where they just sort of, you know, like we do it now for sobriety. They're going to just start randomly pulling people over and say, let me see your vaxport or passport or whatever they want to call it. You can't get into stores, gyms, theaters, restaurants, nothing. You know, eventually, of course, that's going to matriculate to jobs and, you know, you're not going to be able to earn a living or anything. I mean, and Justin Trudeau's election, I believe that, you know, that's a series of elections that go on. I believe it's over today or tomorrow. I'm not sure on that. But, you know, the whole talk of him, you know, is he going to win? I mean, he pulled to have the elections today because he was riding a little bit of a wave of popularity about a month ago. So he said, well, let's have the election now. And but since that time, there's been an awful lot of opposition to it, as we report on every night, huge crowds of hundreds gathering, shaking his bus and yelling, it rhymes with duck, at him and things like that. That's what he does. That's what they're doing. So there is an open rebellion going on among some Canadians. Question is, you know, is it going to be enough? But, you know, anybody who thinks this is going away, none of this is going away. They have found the goose that lays the communist egg, and they're just going to keep squeezing them out.
Well said.
Yeah, Michael, they've been, again, this whole eugenics, this whole depopulation mentality, it's been around for decades, but they figured out a way by weaponizing medicine, getting their friends in China, getting Big Pharma, getting the Democrats, getting all the power players. They're now going to try to weaponize medicine to the point where they're going to force people, hey, we've got this this virus and stuff, and for the good of everybody else, for charity's sake, you've got to take this vaccine. And I believe the vaccine ultimately is what was intended to be used to depopulate planet Earth. That's my take.
Yeah, you can't, that is, you know, maybe 10 years ago, people would say, oh, it's a conspiracy theory. But no, you know what? When you go back to the end of the 19th century, the entire eugenics movement was born in the Rockefeller family. They're the ones, and they used health. It was the big umbrella of health. They funded a seat like that at the University of Chicago, and I believe it was 1896. I might have my year off by a little bit, but they funded that seat. They were some of the major funders behind Margaret Sanger. They gave money to Marie Stopes over in UK to push initially birth control, which eventually, of course, evolved into abortion, euthanasia. It's the same globalist human population, limiting human population. Ted Turner has said this, that the entire human race on Earth should be about 100 million people. That's it. I don't know where you're going to send the other, 7.6 billion people. But, you know, if you need to get rid of them and you do it under the guise of health, that's what this is all about. I mean, it looks to me as plain as the nose on your face.
Yeah. Jesse?
Yeah, this plan was hatched in hell. Thanks, Michael, and keep on doing that spiritual cage fighting. We'll see you every Wednesday here. God bless.
Terry, God bless. All right, thanks again, Michael. Yeah, for pushing back. Again, folks, listen to the news at Church Militant, not just today, every single day you need to get that information. Jesse Romero, what state should we be living in, brother?
Got to live in a state of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. Pray your rosaries every single day. Read your Bible every day. Be holy or die trying.
And remember, Our Lady of Fatima said, souls are going to hell because no one is there to pray and make sacrifices. Please, please make a sacrifice today for the salvation of souls. Up next, Matt Arnold here in Studio One, ready, willing, and able to share the gospel with you here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Get our app by going to dmpr.org. You can listen to all the podcasts that way. God love you.